Hebrews chapter 11, and would you stand with me please as we honor the Word of God? You follow along in your Bible, but we're going to read verses 1 through 4, Hebrews chapter 11. All right, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh." And that's the phrase I'm going to use from this passage, that last phrase of verse 4, "And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh." Now turn over to Revelation, if you would, chapter 14. And just one verse there, verse 13. Revelation chapter 14. And verse 13. And there the Bible says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." And let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight. I thank you for each one that's come. And Father, I pray that through the Holy Spirit that you would speak to each one of us tonight. It's a different kind of message. I think it's very practical and it could be very helpful if we'd listen and if we'd do it. And so I pray you'd help us to listen with that attitude that we want to learn something new from your word and then we want to go out and do it. And be with each one, be with the children as they practice. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned this morning, this is going to probably be one of the most unusual messages I've preached, but I'll try to make it interesting and keep you awake. And I think if you'll listen, that you'll agree that what's going to be said tonight needs to be done. And it would be profitable if you would do it. The Jewish tradition said there were three things that every person should do in their life. All right? Three things that every person should do while they were alive. Number one, have a child. Number two, plant a tree. Number three, write a book. All right? Those three things. That's what Jewish tradition, and I can't remember what they called it. They gave it a certain name, but there was, I was reading, a collection of Jewish tradition, and they said every person before they die should do those three things. Have a child, plant a tree, write a book. And of course, all three of those things are things that endure after a person is gone. And what that tradition is saying is you ought not to die. You ought not to die. When you die, you ought to leave some part of you behind after you're gone. The Bible says, David served his own generation by the will of God. And while we're alive, that's what our goal ought to be. We ought to serve the generation, our own generation, according to the will of God. In other words, do the things that He's called us to do, He made us to do. But there's something else. There's something else that we need to do. We need to serve our own generation, but there's another generation coming. And we need to continue living after we die, for that generation. That's what the Bible means in Revelation 14, verse 13, where the Bible says, their works do follow them. That's what it means in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, when it says concerning Abel, he being dead, yet speaketh. What I want to do as we start out tonight, I want to reason with you a little bit. As I speak on the subject, please don't die. Please don't die. Now, I'm going to say nine things, and I'm not going to say very much about the first eight. All right? So don't worry about having more than 3 points, because we'll get through right on time. But I'm going to say nine things tonight, and I'm not going to say very many things about points 1 through 8. But when we get to point 9, I'm going to tell you how to do point 9. All right? Point number 1. God one day had a job that had to be done. One day, God had a task that had to be done. Point number 2, God made you to do that task. God made you to do that job. Now, it doesn't work the other way around. God didn't make you and then start looking for something for you to do. That's not the way it worked. God had a job or a task that He needed to be done, and so He made you as the designer model, as the original, to do that job. All right? Number three, therefore, God needed somebody just like you. He said, here's a job that needs to be done. I'm going to make this person to do that job. He needed somebody just like you. Now, when God in His foreknowledge looked down and He saw this church, He knew that we were going to need some special kind of people. Yeah, to do special kind of jobs. For example, He looked down and He saw that we need somebody like Brother Walt. So He's not here tonight. I can brag on Him a little bit. We need somebody like Brother Walt. Somebody that would be the glue that would sort of hold everything together. He knew that that job had to be done. He made Brother Walt to do that job. That's the way God worked. God looked down and through His foreknowledge, and He saw that we need somebody like Brother Vern, somebody to sort of be our elder statesman, somebody that will give us a sense of stability. And so He made Brother Vern to do that job. He looked down through His foreknowledge, and He saw that we need somebody like Brother Larry, somebody to keep up with all the money, somebody to climb up high when the light bulbs needed changing. And so He made Brother Larry. He looked down, He says, oh, we need somebody like Brother John to teach the men's Sunday school class. And so He made Brother John. He looked down through His foreknowledge. Now His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Sometimes God works in mysterious ways. And He looked down and He said, they need somebody like Brother Dave. Now, I haven't figured out exactly what, but... No. God knew that we need somebody to remind us not to take ourselves too serious. And so God looked down. He says, they need somebody like Brother Dave. And so God made Brother Dave. And at the same, and if I had time, I'd go right around the room. But that's why we're here. God had a job that He needed done. So He made you to do that job. So He needed something. Now that's true of every single person in this room. I'm talking every single person. Now don't sit there and say, well, this doesn't apply to me. It does. He had a job that He needed done. He made you to do that job. Therefore, He needs somebody just like you. Number four, you're the only one in the whole world just like you. Now stop and think about it. There's nobody else that has ever walked on the face of the earth just exactly like you. Of all the leaves that have decorated all the trees that have ever grown since the Garden of Eden, no two leaves have ever been exactly alike. Of all the blades of grass that have grown in the lawns since the Garden of Eden, no two blades of grass have ever been the same. Of all the trillions and billions of snowflakes that have fallen in the history of mankind, no two snowflakes have ever been exactly alike. Of the hundreds of millions of people that are alive today, there's no two fingerprints exactly alike. Now, if in all of history there's never been two grains of sand all alike, if there's never been two leaves exactly alike, if there's never been two snowflakes exactly alike, it's not unreasonable for us to believe that there's never been two people exactly alike. There may have been some close, but there's never, ever been another person just like you. Never has been. Never will be. So, number one, I said God had a job that He needed done. Number two, He created you to do that job. Number three, that means that God needed somebody just like you. Number four, you're unique. You're unique. There's never been another person exactly like you, all right? Number five, that means, because you're unique, there has never been another mind, another mind just like, I've not got to look back that way. There's never been another mind just like yours. I mean, that thing that is in your cranium, that thing that is in your head, your brain, your mind, there's not another one like it in the whole world. Never has been, never will be. From the time of all the brains, and whatever you want to call it, the brains or the minds that God has created and put in to people from the Garden of Eden, from Adam and Eve, until this time, the brain and mind that you have in your head, there's never been another one like it. Never has. Never has. Point number six. There's never been another mind just like yours. Point number six. You have thoughts that no one else has ever thought. Now stop and think about it. There's never been another person exactly like you, which means there's never been another mind exactly like yours, which means that you have thoughts that no other person in all of history has ever had. Number seven, the next generation needs to know those thoughts. Now stop thinking about it. There's nobody exactly like you, which means the brain or mind that you have, there's never been another copy. It's unique. And you have thoughts that nobody else has ever had or will ever have. The next generation needs to know those thoughts. Point number eight. You've got to find some way to leave those thoughts when you're gone. You've got to find some way to leave those unique thoughts that only you have had in all the history of man. You've got to find some way to leave those when you're gone. Now, don't try to hide tonight behind the cloak of humility. Don't try to do that. You've got to find. Now listen. I've tried to reason with you logically. You're unique. I mean, God, let's go over them real quick. God had a job that He needed done, and so He made you to do that job. Therefore, number three, God needed somebody exactly like you. Number four, there's nobody that's been a carbon copy of you has ever existed. You're unique. Therefore, the mind that you have, nobody has ever had. Therefore, the thoughts that you have, nobody has ever had. And somehow, you've got to leave the thoughts that only you have for the next generation. So you've got to find some way to leave those thoughts. Now, sad thing about it. Most people, the only thing they leave is a few possessions. They don't even leave with their children. They don't even leave their children enough character to get along as they divide up those possessions. I've heard tragic stories, and you have too, of how when mom and dad died, the kids just fight and fuss, dividing everything up. And that's because the parents have only left a few possessions. They never left any character. Now, the Bible says, and I can't remember where it is, but it has a verse that goes like this. Satan works harder because he knows his time is short. Now, shouldn't we be as smart as Satan? I mean, all of us. There's just a step between us and death. I mean, just a step. We can be alive and healthy today, but in a moment, a blood vessel can pop in our brain or our heart can stop beating, and we're just a moment away from death. We've just got a short time to serve God. We've just got a short time to get our thoughts, the unique thoughts that God put in our brain, we've got to figure out a way to leave them for the next generation. We're in a race against death. We need to serve God and serve our generation by the will of God, but we also need to figure out a way to get these unique thoughts that God's put in our mind, figure out a way to leave them for the next generation. All right, point number nine. Please don't die. please don't die. And what I mean by that, you figure out a way to leave the unique thoughts that God's put into your unique mind for the next generation. Let me give you 7 suggestions. All right? This is really you're getting your money's worth tonight. This is a 16-point sermon, and you're getting them all right? I'm going to give you 7 suggestions. How you can leave the thoughts. Now stop, think about it. There have been thoughts that have gone through Shannon's mind. Now stop, think about it. These are not just words. There's been thoughts that, Dave, be quiet. There have been thoughts that have gone through Shannon's mind, through every single one of our minds, that have not been thought of by anybody else. God has chosen us as a unique individual, as a unique mind, and He's given us thoughts that nobody else has ever had. Somehow we need to share them. We need to share them. I'm going to give you 7 suggestions. Number one, write a book. Write a book. You'd say, oh, Brother Darrell, who would publish that book? Hey, it doesn't make any difference if it's published or not. You're not trying to do it for the fame. You're trying to do it to get these unique thoughts that are in your unique mind down on paper. Now, if you can get somebody to publish it, good. If you can get somebody to print it, good. But that's not the point. What you're trying to do is get down on paper for the next generation these unique thoughts that God's put in this unique mind. You need to write down. A lot of people keep diaries. Keep diaries. That's a book. And you write down in that diary the thoughts that God puts in your mind. And then, now look, maybe you say, oh, nobody published it. Maybe nobody will. But you write it down and put it in the top drawer of your dresser. Then when you're gone and your children come in and they start disposing of your stuff, they'll find that book. And in that book, maybe not your, and maybe your grandchildren, in that book, they can turn the pages and they can read what went on in your mind. And the thoughts that God gave, the unique thoughts, the 1 in a million thoughts that God put in your unique mind that He wanted the world to know. So, write a book. Write a book. All right? Number 2, make a tape. You say, oh, Brother Darrell, I can't afford to make a tape. Sure you can. I mean, I bought a tape recorder the other day for $9.95. You can go out and buy you a little tape recorder. You can get tapes for 50 to 75 cents a piece. Put that tape in the tape recorder and just sit down and record what's going on up here. What are you thinking about? Now, you may say, well, I don't have any profound thoughts. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know that the thoughts that you're... Now, we're sort of... let's see, what can I say? We say, I just don't know what to do with these thoughts. Maybe God never intended for you to do anything with those thoughts. Maybe God intended for your great-grandchild to take that thought as a seed that will lead to something that we haven't even thought about today. But unless you plant that seed, it'll never be there to grow in a future generation. So make a tape. Make a tape. You say, well, nobody would want it. No, maybe not. I mean, maybe you can't get it copied. Maybe you can't send it out to 100 people like you do your Christmas cards. But you can make one, and you can stick it on a shelf somewhere. And years from now stop and think about it, Brother Vern. Years from now, Adam's grandchild, who would be your great-great-great-great-grandchild, could someday pick up that tape, put it in a tape recorder, and hear in your own voice and in your own words the unique thoughts that God had put in your mind. I wish I could do that for my great-great-grandfather. I've got a tape that my grandfather made for me that I keep and treasure. And it tells me some things that he thought about. But think about the next generation and the generation after that. Get you a tape. Now, I can see some of you guys now say, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I get a tape. I'll put my name on it. I'll put my picture on it. I can sell it for a lot of money. No, no, no. You're missing the point. It's not the money that's in, nobody buy it anyway. But it's not the money, and it's not the fame that you're after. What you're after is leaving the unique thoughts that God put in your unique mind for the next generation. All right? Number three, put yourself into your children. Put yourself into your children. The average parent, what we do is we feed them, we clothe them, and we take them to school. But what God would say to us, He said, look, you need to set those children down and you need to teach them. You need to tell them and talk to them. You know, it's a unique experience. Sit down with your kids and talk to them. And you put into them some of those thoughts that God's put up here in your mind. Look, it's a shame if the school teaches our kids more than we do. It's a shame if a school teacher, and some of them are good, praise God for them, but it's a shame if a school teacher teaches our children more than we do. In the Bible, in Deuteronomy, when God says, teach your children, that commandment was not to a school. It was not to a school teacher. It was not to a preacher. It was to mom and dad. It was to you. And so, moms and dad, we have a responsibility to God. We have a responsibility to our children. We have a responsibility to the next generation to go home, turn off the TV, and set our children down and talk to them and teach them. And we need to put in their mind what's in our minds, those unique things that God has given to us that He wants passed along and saved. Don't die. Write a book. Don't die. Make a tape. Don't die. Put in the mind of your children those things that God's put up there. Number four, get a Sunday school class. Get a Sunday school class. And put in the minds of those children in your Sunday school class the things that are going on up here. Reproduce yourself in your Sunday school class. That's what Kathy does. She's got them. At a tender age, there's more. The minds in Kathy's class are picking up more from, because now in the nursery they're too young, and they leave the nursery and they go to Kathy's class. Now after they get out of Kathy's class, I mean they're going 90 to, and sometimes they do in her class, but they're going 90 to nothing. And by the time they get up to John's class, we're so old he can't tell us nothing, and so Kathy's got them at the prime time. And she is putting in those little minds the thoughts that God has uniquely put in hers. She's reproducing that herself in those children. Now look, I really believe this, we're going to answer to God how we've shared the thoughts that He's put in our minds. We're going to answer to Him. That's why I always try, and I don't have one tonight, this is a bad time to be an example. I always try to carry 3x5 cards. So that when a unique idea comes into my pea brain, that happens every 50 years or so, but when a unique idea comes up here, I can take out a 3x5 card and write it down. Now stop and think about it. That idea, that thought that comes into your mind may be the only time that God's going to allow it to come in. I mean, I've done it, and I'm sure you have too. I've woken up in the middle of the night. And for me, I wake up in the middle of the night and I have sermon ideas. Middle of the night. If I don't have a piece of paper and a pen right beside my bed where I can just flip the light on real quick and write down an outline, next morning, it's gone. It's gone. And that sermon idea that God gave me is gone for all eternity, probably never come back. And the same thing in your mind. God may send you a thought one day, the only time in the whole history of the world that He's going to put it in somebody's mind. He's picked yours. He wants you to grab hold on it. And He wants you to share it with others. Most of our problem is we don't think we're very important. Now, if we're real honest tonight, if we went around the room, most of you would say, boy, this Brother Darrell, this sermon does not apply to me. I'm not very important. Yes, you are. There's not another person on the earth just like you. Every single one of us are unique. And God made us to do a job. And we're the only person that can do that job. And God made us, and He put a unique mind in us, and He gives us unique thoughts. You're important in the sight of God. I wonder what the world would be if a Sunday school teacher by the name of Kimball didn't think he was important, didn't think his Sunday school class needed him. One day, he visited one of his students in a shoe store and won D.L. Moody to Christ. D.L. Moody took two continents for God. I wonder if that layman, it was on a night very much like this, it was snowing and the weather was bad over in England, and the preacher couldn't make it to the services. They had just a small number in the crowd, but a young man who was on his way to another church, but who couldn't get there because of the weather, came in and visited that church. The preacher wasn't there, and this is what I want one of you guys to do if there's ever a night that I don't make it. One of the laymen got up, and he preached. And that night, Charles Haddon Spurgeon got saved and shook England for God. Every single one of us are important in the eyes of God. You don't know what that little boy, Mike, in your Sunday school class can do with one of the thoughts that God's given you. Chris, you don't know what one of the ladies in your class can do with one of those unique thoughts that God's given you. We need to write it down. We need to share it. All right? Number five. Write letters. Write letters. When I was over at Ray and Kate's house Friday night, I don't know how the subject came up. I think we were talking about Christmas cards. And Kate said, yeah, at Christmas, she says, I don't write letters any other time during the year. But at Christmas, always in my Christmas cards, I take my Christmas card and I take the time to write a note in my Christmas card. And Ray's older sister was sitting there, and she said, yeah, and you know, those mean a lot to me. In fact, I've saved every one you've ever sent me. I saw a book the other day, Letters to My Children by Teddy Roosevelt. Now, he wrote letters to his children. He didn't write them thinking that someday they'd be published. He wrote them to his children. And somebody's collected them and put them in a book. And I was thinking this afternoon, now wouldn't it be something if somebody collected all the notes that Kate wrote in Christmas cards over the years and put them into a book and published them? But write letters. You know, we don't write. It's so much easier now to pick up the telephone. It's so much easier now just to, you know, reach out and touch somebody. And talk. And we don't write letters anymore. But write a letter. Write a letter. Put down in writing, on paper, those unique thoughts that God's put in your mind. Alright? Number six. Write a poem. Write a poem. You say, oh, I don't know meter. It doesn't make any difference. Write a poem. You say, I don't know how the rules of poetry. It doesn't make any difference. Write a poem. You say, I don't know if I could write a good one or not. Doesn't make any difference. Just write a poem. Put it down. And look, it's good if you get your thoughts down on paper. You're sharing your unique thoughts that God's put into your unique mind with somebody else. Helen has written many poems. She shared several of them with me. Kathy writes poems. Write a poem. You say, oh, well, it won't mean anything to anybody. How do you know? How do you know it won't? Put it down on paper. Someday, your great-grandchildren or your great-great-grandchildren are going to pick up that piece of paper where you've written that poem, and they're going to see some unique thoughts that God's put in you. Who knows how they can change the world using those thoughts? Then number seven, write a song. Write a song. You say, oh, Brother Darrell, I don't know music. Don't make any difference. Write a song. Stephen Foster. How many of you know who Stephen Foster is? My old Kentucky home. Suwannee River, to name a couple of them. When he died, he had 37 cents in his pocket. None of his songs were published when he died. They didn't become famous and well-known and make a lot of money until after he was gone. If you would ask him the day before he died, if any of his songs were going to become landmarks, favorite songs, he would have said no. Don't mean anything to anybody, but they do today. So, look, the important thing is to get what God's put up here that's unique down on paper. Share it with the next generation. The Bible says there's two things we need to do. Number one, we need to serve our own generation by the will of God. We need to do that task that God has put us here to do according to His will. But then number two, the second thing I think that the Bible tells us to do is we need to take the unique thoughts that God's put in our unique minds and we need to get them down so the next generation will have them. And if we do that, just like they said about Abel, he being dead yet speaketh, so can we. And just like they said about the folks in Revelation, their works do follow them. That will also be true of us. Father, thank you for tonight. Different kind of message, but Father, I think it's important. I think you think it's important. And I pray tonight that we take it to heart. That every single one of us would realize that we're important in your eyes. That you made us for a very special reason. And while we're alive, we should seek to find that reason and to carry it out. And then, Father, I pray you'd also help us to realize that because we're unique, the mind that you've given us is unique. Hadn't been another one like it in all of history. And the thoughts that you put into that mind are priceless. Because there's thoughts in every person's mind that have never been in anybody else's. And I pray tonight that we'd find a way to capture those thoughts and leave them for the next generation. Help us to do that. Thank you for letting us be in your house tonight. Thank you for the wisdom that comes from your word. I pray in a special way that you bless every person that's come. And then, Father, for those that couldn't come because of sickness and because of other things that are going on, Father, I pray you bless them too. I pray tonight you'd be that you'd be with the Blake family in a very special way. You wrap your arms of comfort around them. Let them know that you're with them. And as they go through this valley, you'll be there beside them. I pray that you dismiss us now. Give us safety through the snow as we return to our homes. Bring us back again on Wednesday night. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.